In your opinions, is there inherent order in nature, or is it all chaos and chance? Tom's question is it possible to prove that other people besides ourselves have consciousness?
Kuna Matata!
This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast with one sane co-host and one insane co-host. You try and work out which is which. Anyway, we don't talk about the countryside as much as we used to. You, the listeners, send in random questions for us to talk about, and we try and always bring it back to the countryside. I get the impression sometimes listeners are trying to challenge us with some of these questions. Anyway.
Are they trying to provoke us into a debate, Stuart?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, we try and open the door to the tough conversations, and we must point out, William and I, who co-host this podcast, we're not activists. We're just people who are just behind the scenes exploring the psychology behind a lot of the tough questions that are presented to us all. We try to present it in a conversational style, real conversations, real opinions, authentic views. Try and keep the big issues in your consciousness, and through actions, we try and address what we conversate around. I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott, and who's the other co-host?
I'm William Ankler. Thanks very much for being with us. I will also add, we're not experts either. We come at this from our own point of view, point of view when we're confronted with the questions, because we don't see these questions. We might glance at them briefly, but we have no idea. I've got no idea what these two questions are. I know where they're from.
One's from Alaska in the USA.
Yep.
And one's from Portsmouth in England. Both very cold places, I'd suggest.
In very different ways.
Yeah.
So the first one is from Velma in Sitka, Alaska.
Do you know what, when you say Velma, do you you know what I want to do? I want to do Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
So Velma's question, not the one from Scooby-Doo, I'm sure. In your opinions, is there inherent order in nature, or is it all chaos and chance? It's all chaos and chance. There you go. Oh. End of episode.
In your opinions, is there inherent order? You mentioned this, I think, in the last episode, order and higher order of things. Or is it all chaos and chance? I think there is a bit of all those things. I think there is an order, a balance. That's what I'd call that. So there are things in the food chain. You've got apex predators who are at the top, and they can't survive unless, you know, their food source is down there, which is lower down the order. But it doesn't mean they're less important just because they're lower down. It's not like in India, you have the caste system, and in the UK, you have the class system. You know, we try and make certain humans more important than others. I think in nature, which we are part of, not separate, there is an inherent order, inherent balance. But I'd also say that balance and order is chaotic, is often by chance. It's all those things, like it always is. It's never one thing.
Because there are certain things that happen. When we talk about a meteorite strike that killed the dinosaurs, that they had no control over. That species had no control over. It's an outside influence, an outside thing that happened. I think the universe is chaotic. There is order, there is balance, because as you suggest, on the wider spectrum as well, in the universe of gravity and that type of thing, you know, we're all in balance with each other. But at the same time, life is just chaotic itself. There's no real map to it. It just happens. It evolves. It is chaotic.
Is there a destiny involved in this?
I don't believe in destiny. I don't believe in... I believe in just...
We all have to believe in something.
Wow. Belief is such a loaded... I've been thinking over the word belief recently. Belief is such a loaded word, because belief often is then attached to spirituality and religion. So you can say, I believe. But you're saying you believe. I use the word belief in the sense that from the information that I got, this is what I understand.
The interesting thing is you use the word spirituality. Now, some people see the word spirituality as about religion. Some people see it as about ghosts.
Yep.
And then other people see it as about going within yourself and you know.
Yeah, so that those words, that spirituality can mean lots of different things. Yeah. Religion obviously means a lot of different things. What I'm thinking though is that the word belief is often tied in to that. Those two things, right? Mm-hmm. So actually, I should say more that my understanding is that the world is chaotic. There is no destiny. It's all physical.
Well, I do believe in destiny. I do believe you were destined to meet me to improve your career. And I was believe in destiny that I met you and I ruined my career. You know, it's all destiny, man. Balance.
What you have to remember, dear listener, is that when Stuart says certain things, you have to if you listen to his tone long enough, you will actually realise that he's telling a joke. You know, just saying. But yeah. I mean, but that what he just said there is half joke, but half also half reality as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe it was anyway.
So, Valma from Alaska, in your opinions, is there inherent order in nature, or is it all chaos and chance? Do you reckon it's always been like that? Well, humanoids came along.
Well, it's a very deeply philosophical question about where life came from, and it all depends on what your beliefs are. You know, it's almost like we like to see patterns ourselves as humans. We are very pattern obsessed in a way, because it comes from when we were being hunted ourselves, and we need to understand the difference between a movement in the bushes because of wind and a movement in the bushes because it was a saber-toothed tiger coming to eat us. Mm. Well, we were obsessed with patterns, but the chances of us evolving to the species we are today is millions to one, I think. We are in sort of like a perfect place. There are so many things. Brian Cox was talking about it, I believe. Literally, the reason why we are where we are and we have evolved on this planet is to do with things like Jupiter being where it is, and the fact that the moon actually, the way the moon was formed by two bodies colliding with each other, it actually meant that the moon kept Earth in a very, very stable position on its axis. It tilted its axis, which meant that there was a movement with the way the planet was heated and cooled during its cycles, that created things like the seasons, and the seasons then made things move around the world, around the earth with wind. So you actually would get biodiversity being spread around the whole world. And that's very specific conditions that have come here. So you could actually say that's a little bit of order, but for me, it's chaos.
Okay. I can't say anything else on that. I've got a run of relatively stump-worthy questions that, you know, stumping me. I can't really go beyond what I've said. Anyway, two things I'd like to talk about before we go on to the next episode is you got a sponsored challenge coming up with your sister, William.
Yeah, and straight off the bat, the money we're raising, going to be raising, is going to be for Stuart's Extreme 8 all-terrain wheelchair. My sister had been doing, a little backstory of my sister is that she had been doing long distance running for many, many years. I think it might even be about 10 years now. And she got to the point where she'd done the big marathons. She's ran London, Berlin and Chicago. And she wanted something a little bit else. She wanted something, another motivation to do something. And we've come up with the idea, the plan on the August bank holiday this year. Which I think is the 24th, 25th and 26th of August, off the top of my head, but around about that time, of doing a three-day walk along the Thames Path from Putney to Henley. We're going to go upstream. So we're going to go uphill. We're making it harder for ourselves, Stuart. So it's going to be a fundraiser for Stuart's
all-terrain wheelchair, it's not a nice thing to have. It's an essential thing to have.
It's a necessity,
I need it to get back out leading these walks, which is mine and largely William's income.
Yeah.
And so how can people find the preparation story about this challenge you guys are doing? Is it online?
Well, we'll be talking about it a lot on our own social media at the moment, but I'll share more details as we go in the year, and it'd be good to talk about it on this podcast as well. Talk about it here. This is probably one of the best places to hear about it, really.
Yeah. And the other thing, we recently had Oxford University micro intern Sophie Williams. She did some great work, like all the interns do.
Yes,
push us forward into new areas. But We're applying for a... Go on.
Can I just say that video that Sophie did, there's some drone footage of you in your current Q50R going across the grass, and it's capable of doing that, but if that was any boggier, that you would have got stuck there.
Yeah.
And it showed me more, really demonstrated that the Extreme 8 is needed.
Yeah.
It's a necessity for you to be able to do that.
And we're also applying for a crank start Oxford University intern for 6 weeks in the summer. This is for, I think, students who have a household income of less than 32,000, and it gives them an opportunity. They get funded £3,000 to work 6 weeks with us. It covers all their costs and hotel fees, whatever they need.
They get a chance to work with us.
Yeah, and it just gives them wider experience. So we're applying for that. So keep an ear out for interns, because we might actually get one of these Crankstart interns in the listener's chair. You know, we have to get that out, can dust it down and get a listener sat in one of the chairs and help discuss with us.
This, of course, will be our second Crankstart,
yeah.
And again, we'll put on record the thanks for the footwork that Susie Darrington did on your website, which hasn't gone live yet, unfortunately.
No.
But, Susie put
Bongo IT, pull your fingers out. We need this website live.
Susie did a lot of work, not just on that, but also other bits as well. And in some ways, I still see her as part of this team still.
Yeah.
But it'd be good to have another voice on this podcast, as always. And go on.
So on to the next question, which is Tom from Eastney in Portsmouth, England. What's his question?
Have you ever been to Eastney?
I think I passed through it to go to Southsea or something.
Yeah, because it's the other side of Southsea from Portsmouth. So it's Portsmouth, Southsea, Eastney. I've stood on Eastney Beach.
All right.
Okay. That's a really interesting thing. Fact. Anyway, Tom from Eastney, Portsmouth, England. That's the question's from. So Tom's question is it possible to prove that other people besides ourselves have consciousness?
Ooh. Is it possible to prove we have consciousness ourselves to other people and to ourselves?
Yeah.
Work out if other people can prove it to you.
How do you prove? How would you prove to me that you're conscious, and how would I prove to you that I'm conscious?
Well, if I punched you in the face.
That could just be a reaction.
That
reaction.
Could be a warning.
It could just be a reaction.
It could be your imagination.
Could be my a pigment of my conflagulation.
Yeah. Well done. I've got that. That's plagiarism, that is.
Where's that from?
From my own larynx.
Oh, it's from yours. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You nicked it from me.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you prove that other people besides ourselves have consciousness?
I mean, I kind of think that I actually don't think I'm... Can I actually prove to myself that I have consciousness?
Mm.
You know?
You might be just a construct of various electrical charges in your brain.
Well, we all are, aren't we? Isn't that what consciousness is?
And I often say there's a philosopher out there who believe we are actually all the same person. We are all the same, you know, what you think is you is actually what I think is me. We just evolve in different ways through our own life experiences, but we are all the same person. That's a blow your brain if you think about that too much.
Yeah. I would definitely counteract that with going back to the previous question about order and chaos. You know, it's chaos. We are all individuals. We have consciousness because we've evolved consciousness. We're conscious of who we are. Not many animals have that consciousness.
We assume
the self-consciousness. Well, again, you can do it through scientific tests.
Mm.
You know, there was a question we had thrown at us.
I knew you were going to say that.
About the bees, about what bees see in a certain colour.
Yeah, gave a talk and I said bees can't, they see contrasts in colour. So if you have flowers, have two different colours on the flower and they can't see the colour red, that comes out is black. And the woman quite passionately, she said, how on earth does anybody know that? Well, because scientists put their anoraks on and study this stuff.
Yes, exactly.
The stereotype of a scientist is wearing a white coat. But if you peel that off, there's an anorak under there.
Yeah, well, maybe the white coat is actually an anorak in disguise. But yeah, I think that, it goes back to the whole, chaos thing, you know, that consciousness is just a product of evolution. And we've been able to just evolve into the being that we are, and our brains have had time to evolve into that into that state. We're still quite a primitive species, but I think, consciousness is part of that.
To prove categorically that other people besides ourselves have consciousness, I think it's very hard to prove anything as consciousness, but on the law of balance and average and logic, yeah, we all have a consciousness, but do we really need to prove that? Shouldn't we just be getting on thinking about how to burn less fossil fuels?
Yeah. Is it a distraction? I sometimes think philosophy is a good thought experiment, but philosophy can be also a bit of too much of a distraction from reality.
So a philosopher once said to me, if a philosophical question can be answered, it's not a philosophical question.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I think my brain works in a way of like, maybe I'm just always looking for the answer and understanding the where the answer came from as well. I think philosophy. We had a almost debate between Susie Darrington, yourself and myself at the Turf Tavern, and you were talking about this whole idea of philosophy of if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? And you both said no, it doesn't, and I said yes, it does, because what is sound? And
you realise you were wrong yet?
It's nothing to do. I think the thing is right. I think that there is no actual answer to that question. There's no one answer to that question, because you could actually say, well, what is sound? Because that's what I started with. I asked the question, well, what is sound?
It's a vibration.
Exactly, yeah. So if it makes... But we can go through that discussion. I remember my mum phoning me once and saying, because she did this quite often, randomly said, oh, William, did you know there's three ways a chess match can finish? And I was like, only three? I can think of probably about 10 off the top of my head. You know, if a meteorite hits you on the head, lands and obliterates the world, that'll end the chess game.
My mum and I used to have a conversation about this. If a tree falls in the woods, nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Because she used to say, don't you ever hear your telephone ringing? And I used to say, if it's in the other room. She said, well, can't you hear it from the other room? I said, well, if I'm not there to hear it, does it make a sound? Maybe it doesn't ring.
What an ending!